This meeting is now being recorded.
Yeah, thank you very much. And Sébastien Bachelet speaking, rapporteur of the ICANN Ombuds Office subgroup on WorkStream2. Our today call is number 29, and you have all received yesterday a first version of the draft report of our subgroup, and we already have some comments on that. Before going to this part of the schedule, I would like to know if there are, in addition to the one on the Adobe Connect, if there are people just on the phone. Okay, it seems that our colleague Alberto Soto gets some trouble get to Adobe Connect, but he's on the call. Hopefully he can hear us. And that means that I don't know how many we are to be counted, but not sure that we have 5 people. But I would like to suggest that we go through the document as a first reading, because if not, we will have trouble to be on time to deliver a document. My suggestion is that we do this discussion to be able to deliver a first draft to the plenary, and the plenary it's sometime 27 of September, and we need to have some day before to send them the document. And if we can have the first reading today and the second reading with hopefully all the people next week who are not participating today, that's good. And we, for the 27, we need to be ready for the 20th, and our next call, the 18th, is the last one if we want to deliver sub-sig to the plenary. And I think it's important to give that to the plenary, but, in September. But let's have a discussion on that what else. I didn't have prepared PowerPoint, but I would like to suggest that we go through the document, and there were a few comments on the list. And I would like to go through the comments, and after that we will go through more global discussion if needed, if you have some additional point, and if you agree with that. Okay, thank you very much, and thank you for your participation today. We have noted apologies from Cheryl, Fazanet, and Avery, and that's it. Okay, let's go to the document. I hope that you had found some time to go through. In fact, it's I would say much lighter document. If you take out annexes, it's take to the recommendation from the external review and our proposal for comments. Proposal for And then the ICANN Ombuds Office and our recommendation. As I will go through one by one, and if you have comments outside of the comments we already have, let's tell me. I don't know if you want me to read one. We have already done such a reading last time, and I don't think we need to read it all of them. Then on the first recommendation, about to be more strategically focused, any comments to this recommendation?
Sebastian, this is Asha. I just wanted to ask if it's possible to make it bigger, the screen, or whoever's in charge of the screen.
That's a good idea. Great, that's better. I went to my own document to be able to read it. Okay.
Thank you.
Second recommendation. You're welcome, Asha. Definitely. The second recommendation, it's to include some procedures. There were no comments on the list, but if you have any, it's a good time.
Sorry. Are you now on number two?
Klaus, please. Go ahead.
Thank you, Sebastian. I just would mention a general observation about the whole document and specifically the documentations. When I read it last night, I was specifically missing from time to time the why Explivy makes that recommendation and secondly the how. Basically saying what is the actionable item, what is the action to be taken. But this is a general observation to the whole document, and maybe I misunderstand the nature of the document and the requirements of that document, but by reading as a general observation, the how and the why for me was missing. Thank you.
Thank you, Klaus, for your comment. Sebastian Bachelet speaking. I think one part of the reason you may have such a feeling is that we didn't include the report from the external reviewer where a lot of explanations are embedded, and I was not sure that we need to repeat it in our own part of the document. Maybe one thing we need to add in the final document to the plenary is that a lot of explanation are in the external review report that will be in Annex B, but it was so heavy that we decided with Bernard not to send it to you again. I hope that it's part of the answer at least. And I see that Asha have some comments to make too. Please, Asha.
Yeah, merci, Sebastian. So two questions I have. One is on what you just said, that I'm looking at the transcript. Did you just say it will be in the next... You said that will be in the next version. Is that what you meant? It says next B, did you mean next version?
I was meaning in the version that we will send to the plenary, because obviously they don't have at end the report from the reviewer. But as once again, it's an heavy document, we decided not to include it in what we... I sent Bernard sent to you yesterday. But I suggest that anyhow we will add a link to the document like that you can find it easily needed.
Okay. Then the question I had was on the paragraph number 2. That's what I was asking. Are you on number 2 right now?
Yes.
Okay. So on number 2, this is just something that popped into my head when I was looking at this. There are 3 different categories for complaints. The governance, community, and corporation. That's what the consultant has come up with. And I was thinking about, you know, what would happen if there was a particular type of complaint that could not be classified into any one of these 3, that could not easily be classified.
Thank you, Asha. I will try to answer, but I am not sure that I have the right answer. But if you look from at least my answer will be look to the 11 recommendation number 11, because I guess if it's not included in those categories, it will fall more into some
complaints officer
outside of complaint work.
Okay. I'm just thinking out loud here that perhaps we might need to think about a situation where it is a complaint, but it does not easily fit into one of these 3 categories. I might be overly pessimistic here and maybe quite easy to categorize any complaint related to ICANN work into one of these 3. But I'm just wondering about the possibility of something coming out of the blue which could not fit into these 3. But anyway, maybe we could have a sort of clause. Maybe one possibility is to have a clause to look into the possibility of some kind of maybe the ombudsperson has the prerogative to force that complaint into one of these categories. We might, you know, that's another option. Or the ombudsman have the option of you know, creating a general category. That might be another idea.
Thank you, Asha. Sébastien Bachelet speaking. Let's keep that in mind, but I think that it could be added not to be in the decision of the ICANN Ombuds office, but it's one point where the advisory panel can help. It's to help if there is difficulty to decide where it will fit better. If it's not there, we will come back to this and taking into account your question and comments. If you agree, Asha.
Yep. Okay. It's not a critical point. It's just something that might end up being a problem. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Asha. Okay, now let's go to recommendation number 3. It's a one to stop relaunch of the function. Any comments, questions? Okay, thank you. Let's go to 4. Question about the time for all the ICANN part to answer any request or question or from the ICANN Ombuds office. Any comments, questions? Thank you. If not, let's go to 5. It's about...
Sorry, Sebastian, I have a question on number four.
Okay, go ahead, Asha, about number four, no problem.
Okay, thanks. So for number four, it kind of limits it to 90 days or 120 days with reason. I'm wondering whether we could consider the possibility of, some kind of allowance for the board to extend that time if it really is not feasible to provide a response within that 90-day or 120-day window. There might be some circumstances, special circumstances. Maybe the report is very complex, or there may be multiple reports that come at the same time, which might, create challenges in ensuring a response within that period. So, I'm not suggesting that the deadline or the time limit of 120 days or 90 days should be removed, rather that there should be a possibility of having an extension for special cases.
Thank you, Asha, for your feedback. I think we need to have some, some rules, even if it's not mandatory, as it will not go through any bylaw changes, at least for the moment. But we may add something, a comment that if for any exceptional, but in the same time, we need to be sure that the exceptional don't become the rules, because if not, how to solve and to evolve a complaint if it takes more than 120 days to answer that. My feeling is that it's already a long time, three months or 4 months. But we can add something about for exceptional cases, if the body who can't answer in 120 days will have already explained why they are requesting 120 days, and if they did more, they will explain that, and I guess everybody will understand. But let's try to find a way to write something on that. Asha, please, and then Klaus.
No, that's an old hand, sorry. So just to follow up on what you were saying is, I agree that there is an extension. I understand there is an extension already from 90 to 120, but I think you got my point completely, which is this is meant to be very much an exception rather than a rule. But there has to be some kind of flexibility because there might be very, very special and very complex cases that may come up. And so if there was a possibility of applying for an extension for very special cases with good reasons given, I think that would be a good sort of flexibility to include. And I'll stop here.
Thank you, Asha. Before giving the floor to Klaus, I want to read a comment made by Herb Wayne, the current ombuds. Present framework is 30 days, and we already go by three or by four at the same time. But let's see what we can do. Please, Klaus.
Thank you. This is Klaus for the record. I think there is a straightforward compromise, and that's the last sentence what Asha said, basically adding one sentence that under exceptional circumstances, there should be a possibility to apply for extension. Otherwise, I think that 90 days or even 100 days are really ample time, and we have to think about these processes, and basically you can kill processes by just sitting them out. So I think the 19 and 120 days are really the maximum, but for the reason I see the point which Asha makes, we should add just that one sentence which she mentioned at the end of her contribution. Thank you.
Thank you, Klaus. Any other comment? If not, we will... as an action item here to add a sentence at the end, taking into account the last sentence from Asha, last intervention, please. Thank you. Okay, now I guess, Klaus, it's your end from before on Adobe.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Okay, that's okay, Klaus. No worries. Let's go to 5. That's a bit key performance indicator. Any comments, questions, proposal? Okay, thank you. Now let's go to 6. And it's about some formal mediation training and experience within the capability of the ICANN Ombuds Office. Any comments, questions? Okay, let's go to 7, it's about some gender, to have some gender variety within the ICANN Ombuds Office and other diversity. Asha, please.
Thank you, Sebastian. For number 7, my font is so small, I can barely. Number 7, yes. On the gender issue, I would just, from a personal perspective, just suggest that we use gender balance as opposed to gender diversity, because women are not a diversity, we're not a minority, we're half the human race. And I know there is a possibility of a third gender, but gender balance is still the correct term to use, because balance means that you're proportional representation. So not a very important, critical point, Basha.
No, but the question here, maybe it's, sorry, it's Sebastian Basha speaking, and it's not balance here. We don't are looking for balance, because if the ICANN Ombuds Office, it's we'll take an extreme case. It's 4 people and 3 are women and 1 is man. It's okay. What we say here and what it's important is that specifically in the case of harassment, it was suggested that the Ombuds will be better, the ICANN Ombuds Office will be better fitted to take that into account if there is at least one person for each two gender. Sorry for this short way to say it. And it's not a question of balance, it's not a question of diversity, and we may try to find a better wording But I get your point, Aisha. I hope it's okay.
Sorry, Sebastian, can I quickly respond to that?
Yes.
Can I quickly respond to you, Seb, before?
Yes, go ahead, Aisha, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, I see your point now, Sebastian, on this. So I misunderstood, but then I think then this tenth sentence would need to be reworded to reflect exactly what you just said, that the point is that we want the Office of the Ombudsman to have maybe diversity is the right word, but we want to have the Ombudsman's office to be populated with we want the Ombudsman office to be populated that's reflective of the community, so that if there's a member of the community that does not look like or is not the same gender or is not from the same geography as the Ombudsman, he or she would still be comfortable going to the Ombudsman because there's somebody in the Ombudsman office who is more similar to him or her. I think that's what you're trying to say. And then I think the sentence needs to be a bit changed so that we're talking about being more representative and more reflective of the composition of the community.
Thank you, Aisha. We will take into account your feedback. We will not try to work this here, but first, Herb, please. If you want, take the floor. It's your turn.
Thanks, Sebastian. For number five, I just wanted to come back to what I put in the chat there, but is it timeliness or timelines? And can we just have KPIs standing on its own rather than limiting it to issues of time? Because there also may be issues of appropriate response, inclusive of information and stuff like that that needs to go out. So I'm just wondering if you limit that to strictly timelines or timeliness. I'm not sure which word it's supposed to be. Thanks.
May I, if you just remove the word, I guess it's okay. If you want to write something differently, can you send us to the list another wording of the number five, and that will be
The wording. I would like to know whether it's timeliness or timelines, whether that's an actual typo. Can anybody answer that?
It was timeliness, but because we just cut and paste from the report. I don't think we have changed this one. We were not looking at changing the recommendation except when it gave us some trouble with the change of bylaws. But we will check, and if you have specific comments or specific wish how we can write that, just send us a proposal and we will take them into account. Thank you. Aisha, please. You may be muted, Aisha.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was muted. Can you hear me?
No, it's okay. Go ahead, Aisha, please.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thanks. So going back to what Herb's point was, I think, Herb, it is timeliness, and I think this the sentence is just poorly worded. There's maybe a grammatical improvement that can be made here. If I recall from what I remember from the report, it was related to timeliness. So basically, the Ombudsman should handle complaints in a very timely fashion. And so I think It's just that the sentence might be better worded. That might help. But on your other point about other non-timeliness-related KPIs, I think that's also a valid point to make, which I'm not sure whether that's addressed in another point in this report. I don't recall there being other mentions of KPIs, but we could do a search for it. If there isn't, then I would agree with you, Herb, that it may be of value to have the Ombuds Office establish other non-time-related KPIs, such as sensitivity in handling complaints and so forth. And I'll stop here.
Thank you, Asha. Sébastien Bachelet speaking. I just want to remember to all of us that it's enhancement from the current situation. The ICANN Ombuds Office has already to publish some reports, and inside the report, I am sure there is already some KPIs. And but let's check. And once again, if you want to improve the writing of this recommendation, we will be happy to receive your proposal on the mailing list. Okay, now we have discussed the 6 and 7, and I don't want to reopen too much the discussion, but I would like to be very cautious that we are not intending to have all the diversity of the community within the Ombuds Office. If not, the community will be the Ombuds Office. But what here we are suggesting is that, yes, you need at least to have one man and one woman in the ICANN Ombuds Office. It will be better. It's ideally configured. And if it could be some other form of diversity, it will be even better. That's what it meant. If there is a better wording here also, please send your suggestion, and we will try to work on that prior to then our next call. Okay, if we can go to number 8, and number 8 is the one, sorry, number 8 is the one, it's quite difficult because it's cut in two parts here, but the main question about the, sorry, I will try to stop at the right place. No? Well, the bigger discussion we had here is about advisory panel, and Klaus, you made a suggestion, and I was thinking that it was an interesting one, as all the comments, of course, but I have trouble to understand how we can deal with that and with the rest of the ICANN Ombuds Office, and I take the liberty to ask Phil Corey, who made the report on the external review, what it was he thought, and it's what we have embedded in the comments here. But Klaus, of course, you are welcome to take the floor now.
Thank you, and I'm sorry, and I apologize in advance that I'm coming so late with such a basic change. But again, I was reading report on the advisory panel, and what pricked my ears was that in another working group, at least in basically the same, another advisory panel was suggested, and which made me think what's going on here. And I think I understand now, especially after reading Phil's comments, it is, we have to make a decision. Do we want to add another layer of authority or solving legalistic litigious problem solving, or should we think about actually going down the step and thinking about an advisory panel, which basically is a more informal ethics panel of, as it says here, wise women and men. And to give you an example of what I was thinking about, the cases, some of the cases which happened. Basically, if somebody, if the ombudsman or the people who have the complaints or were a complaint against, could talk to some people, and I think a lot of steam and a lot of problems could have been solved much earlier, much quicker, and without a lot of damage. And I think with regard to the advisory panel, I think the important point is also to listen here to Herb. What does he think is needed, and what does he think is the most appropriate? But on the other hand, I think it says vice counsel for the ombuds. What about a vice counsel for the ombuds and the rest of the community? And I think that that the model of an ethics committee or whatever it's named is the a better one instead of saying advisory panel. And if you as a group actually like the idea, I'm quite happy to sit down during the week and to write a paragraph and to make that available. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Asha, please.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Am I muted? Okay. All right. Yes. I also had...
No, you are going very well.
Okay. I also had questions, comments on this advisory panel. And I think Klaus put it very well. He asked, you know, do we really want to add another layer of authority? And from a personal perspective, I'm not so sure that would be the right way. But I wanted to, because I have missed, I think the last meeting and two meetings before that, so I may have missed the discussion around that. If that's the case, I apologize. And I want to ask some clarifying questions about this. About this advisory panel. The first question is, I wanted to ask if it's meant to be replacing the board's role in considering the reports and recommendations from the ombudsman, or is it meant to be in parallel with, in conjunction with? And if it is meant to be in parallel with, in conjunction with, then the question then is, do these recommendations draw the line very clearly as to who has the authority over the ombuds in terms of who is the ombuds accountable to? Who does the ombudsman report to? So this is really clarify. I'm not asking from the perspective of saying that we'd object to this. I'm trying to understand what was the recommendation from the consulting company on this particular point. So can you help me with that, Sebastian?
Thank you, Asha. Herb, do you want to take the floor before I try to get some feedback to Asha, or do you want me first to try to answer?
I can probably just mention that Herb Way, for the record, Klaus's comment of having my input is important, I guess. But I just want to remind everybody that I'm more of an observer than an active participant, as much as I would love to dive right in with you people and work on some of these issues with my wholeheartedly. It's a working group that is acting kind of independently of my office. So as a comment regarding recommendation 8 and this advisory panel, I will punt it back to the comments made by the committee that, or the group that did the review, and merely state that any changes to the standard operating procedures and the frameworks and values and so on of an ombuds office should be seriously considered by the people that are looking to make changes, and by adding or subtracting from the informality and the standard way of operation of an ombuds office, it has to be taken seriously into consideration. So in adding a step, I'm not saying it's right or wrong to have an advisory panel, but it would need to be seriously considered very seriously by everybody that would be involved in this decision-making process, including the board and the organization, legal aspects. There are so many things that will be impacted by the addition of, I don't want to say outsiders, but I will say that by adding, the more people you add to the process, the more risks you have of breaching things like confidentiality, opening the office up to potential litigation. There's so many things that can be layered on top of a decision like this. So moving forward, when these recommendations go to the board, if this is included in it, it is something that at that point there will be a serious discussion between myself or whoever the ombuds may be at the time and the decision-making people, so that all of these recommendations can be seriously looked at and look at the impact they have on the informality of the office, on the movement towards having a more formal process involving more and more people. Will the ombuds office have staff? We're talking about diversity. Well, if funding is not put forward to hire people and it continues as a single practitioner, then diversity is something that will have to be taken into consideration by people other than the ombuds when they go into the hiring process. So those are all things that will be looked at down the road. So I will just restrict my input right now to saying that caution will have to be taken when these decisions are made once the final report goes to the organization and the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Unfortunately, my internet connection just stopped when you start to talk, and I just get the end of your comments. But from your last comments, I will have some inputs. But first, Klaus, please.
Thank you very much, Klaus, for the record, and thank you very much, Herb, for your comments. My basic question, and I don't expect you to answer, was quite simply, what would you think would be more useful for your office, something more formal, or like the Ombuds Advisory Panel, or something more informal, like what I suggested with the Ethics Committee? Which really convinced me about Ethics Committee is actually Phil's comments to which were requested by because he's going, and it looks like really it's going in the way of institutionalizing something. And if I understand Herb right, but maybe I misunderstood him, this whole thing will require a lot more discussion and things like that. And maybe we shouldn't answer the question, should it be advisory panel, ethics committee, or XXX, by simply saying, ICANN should establish an ombuds advisory panel / ethics committee or something like that. and have the discussion then afterwards and slog it out on a much more basis and trying to get it. But at least that we indicate that there are different options for this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Asha, please. And we have less than 15 minutes to go. Asha, please.
Yeah, thank you, Sebastian. And Klaus, I think you've hit the nail on the head there very aptly with your comments. I think this does require, and I and Herb also said the same thing, I think this particular point, number 8, is perhaps the one point in the whole report that does require a significant amount of discussion, because this will be the biggest change. And I think we should also consider the possibility of going with an ethics committee. That could be a possibility. It doesn't have to be an advisory panel. So I would from a personal perspective, not speaking as a member of the board, but would hope to see that there is a little bit of flexibility here. But I would want to go back to my earlier question, which is I wanted to understand from Sebastian if this what was the original idea or original suggestion from the consulting company. What were they thinking about when they proposed this? Were they thinking about something that would replace the board's role in terms of interfacing with the ombudsman, or would this be in parallel with? Because if that's the case, then I think then there needs to be further definition or explanation or discussion rather about how these two functions will coexist. And I'll stop here. Thank you.
Okay, please. No more, Herb? Okay. First of all, you want to talk, Herb?
No, thank you. I just put in my comments there about whether these members would be ICANN staff or members of the community, that's all.
I will try to stay as a rapporteur here, but please read the report. I guess it's all explained to the report. Here we are just having a short recommendation. But I will try to give what I understood in the report and why I think it could be useful. And the question of the name, it's not for me the main question. The main question, it's a responsibility. It's also why we are having a discussion on the notes here, where it's written the ultimate responsibility for the Ombuds Office must remain with the board. One of the questions we raised since the beginning is how to enhance the independence of the ICANN Ombuds Office. And one of them was to try to find a way to, decrease or try to cut part of the board power with maybe not enough implication. And it's why I guess external reviewer came with this proposal of an advisory panel with a proposal about the composition with at minimum 2 members with ombudsman experience and 3-4 members with extensive ICANN experience.
We have already discussed that when we discussed the report of the external reviewer. And now if I can give you my own point of view, and I take off my hat as a rapporteur, is that yes, we need to find a way to decrease the power of the board in this one. If you remember, I have wrote a paper, which could have been one way, it's to have the complaint office within the ICANN staff, and we can have the ombuds with the board, and then what type of complaints office or complaints system we have within the community. It was not the path we chose to go through, then this one, it's an important proposal. Now, what I suggest is that we stop this discussion here, because I would like very much to go to the last comments and then to finalize the first reading. I will be happy to receive by each of you a proposal to change this recommendation 8, if you wish so. But I guess this recommendation, taking into account what is on the report of the external reviewer, it's a useful one to be discussed by this group, and I don't think we need to wait for other people to discuss that before us. It will be discussed by the plenary, it will be discussed by the community, it will be discussed by the board and other body, but we need to finalize our own recommendation. And I would like very much to go to the final, the last comments we had from Father Net in the last 7 minutes. But before we go through, I guess I have Asha. Take the floor.
Yes, thanks, Sebastian. Yeah, I'm not going to spend too long on this. I know you want to move on to the next topic. I just wanted to clarify one thing, is that I know that in terms of the question that Herb asked about how the committee should be populated, yes, that question is addressed in the report. But what's not in the report, or at least is not very clear to me, and I did read it, is that is this advisory role meant to be separate from the board's role in considering the ombudsman's reports and reports and recommendations? How and if it's meant to be separate, how is it meant to be separate, and how are they meant to work together? That part's not clear. So I'm not suggesting we discuss this now because we're running short of time. I'm just bringing up to the table that this is something that's not very clear. And it would require further discussion. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's move to the last two comments. The one I have requested a legal point of view about this question of ultimate responsibility, and I guess it's fall very well with the discussion we just have, and that's the point. And then I suggest to go to the recommendation number 9. And recommendation number 9, it's a question of the employment contract and how it will be handled. And here we have a discussion about what is the independence of the ICANN ombuds office. I will read what Father Netsch wrote. This is what I don't agree with and have objected to multiple times. I don't think we can give independence to the ombuds office by having longer contract. She added, I believe this section should be expanded. There are many more criteria for ensuring independence. Any comments, questions? Klaus, please.
Thank you, Klaus, for the record. I think Parsonay's question, your previous comment and so on, makes it absolutely clear that we should have one more meeting between ourselves as a group under the one topic, how can we ensure dependence of the ombuds in general. I think this thing is until now is not clear, and it is an absolute vital point, and we can't solve that problems by contractual arrangements or giving somebody a contract for 5 or 3 or 10 years or 20 years. Even if the ombuds is ombuds for life, that doesn't mean he's independent. So I know I'm throwing a little bit of stones into the road, but I think it really would be wise for us to be clear and discuss out the independence questions.
Thank you, Klaus. Asha, please.
Thank you, Sebastian. So just a related point to the point that Fazana made, In terms of the 5-year term, the question I have, and this is not meant to be criticism of the recommendation, but rather it's the question or the doubt I have, is that if we're going to establish a guaranteed 5-year contract with no at-risk component, then there has to be some way of motivating the ombudsman. So there has to be perhaps we could consider the possibility of adding a termination for cause, something to motivate to the ombudsman to do his or her job. Otherwise, there's no incentive. If there's it's a 5-year guaranteed job. I mean, everybody would love to do that. 5 years guaranteed that you will not lose your job. Yeah.
I know that we have too much to read, but it's just the next sentence. The ombuds should only be able to be terminated with cause.
Where do you see that? Did I miss
just
that?
The second
I apologize
point.
If I did.
In the
see that
recommendation
here.
9, we have both. Yes. Okay, we have 2 minutes to go, and we will
then.
Not. That's okay, no worries. I wanted first to suggest that we will follow this discussion, and we didn't take into account the comments made by Cheryl, and she was suggesting to add one sentence about saying that it's just one part of the independence, as it was suggested by Klaus. We will rediscuss this, I will say, overarching issue of this document. It's about the independence, what we mean by independence, and how we can go to that independence. I suggest that we discuss that during our next call, and I hope that we will be able to have but I am doubting now, but we have a final version next week, even with some things to tweak between the 18th and the 20th, the due date to have a document to the plenary. If not, we will have to wait one more month, and that so be it. And we will rediscuss the different part of this document we discussed today with a new version, hopefully by next week. And as it is the top of the hour, I will just ask if you have any other business. And if you don't, I would like very much to thank you for your participation,
your
inputs, and comments today. And talk to you next week. Bye-bye. The call is now adjourned.